Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Wake up, America. Did you know I coined that term in 1989 on my AM/FM radio shows right here in Southern California, as well as a cable television show entitled Women Fight Back and the Other Issues of the Day. And I started off the shows with Wake Up America is the American Dream on the verge of the American Nightmare. My grassroots movement and members of my WFB nonprofit organization were victims of legal abuse, and I decided that I couldn't be the only one. So I found others who were fighting back but didn't know how to because there was nowhere to go. So I began this movement and this organization and hit the newspapers and so forth and proposed laws that changed the way the system did business here in California. But as we know, laws can be forgotten, broken, changed, ignored, and rewritten. So my grassroots movement continued on. We actually formed court monitor groups, and we would go into the court just randomly every Wednesday, and we'd sit in the courtrooms, and we would take down the name of the judge and the lawyers and the case, and then we would write notes on what we thought about their behavior. And if it was legal or illegal or just or unjust, and if they were following the rule of law and so forth. And then every month we discussed it during our meetings, and we also proposed laws to help the litigants who were being treated poorly in the court system. It wasn't a black and white issue for us. It was a matter of justice for all that was not happening and still isn't happening today, gotten worse. So that's what we did, and that's how Wake Up America began in the media and is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare. Well, it apparently appears that it is more towards the nightmare if more people don't wake up. My guests were heavy hitters. They left their government jobs to become whistleblowers. And back then, nobody would allow them on their stations or throw them off their stations. But somehow they found the Rose. And the Rose was intrigued because she knew about the injustices happening within the legal system. And she had firsthand experience as well. So she decided to learn as much as possible about the law, hit the law books, represented herself many times in court, and even won against lawyers. So you need to learn how to defend yourself in a court of law, especially if you have no money or you run out of money, because $350 and up per hour to talk to a lawyer, you can run out of money quite quickly. So what these whistleblowers who were former government employees or law enforcers were sharing with the nation, and they even held conferences that some of them I attended during that time in the 90s and early 2000s. We were speaking about the wealthy globalists and how they penetrated our government and how they were pre-selecting and electing our presidents and vice presidents and people in key positions, but it's gotten even worse today because they're even selecting attorney generals and district attorneys in some cases and governors of states in other cases and mayors by funding them into office. Because as you know, it takes millions and millions of dollars to run for public office today, which is absolutely insane. Anyone should be able to run for public office without being funded millions of dollars in order to get a position and then be beholden to wealthy people on Wall Street. Crazy, huh? Well, that's what's happened. And so they were telling us about, which was even difficult for me to believe, what the globalists were planning to do to our planet and to us, humanity, and the population control and manipulation of the weather and so forth. It was a little bit difficult to grasp it all at the time because it just seemed so sci-fi. And but they were so credible, so I was totally intrigued. And unfortunately, all of the issues they brought up happened today in the present. So the past turned into the present. And this is what we're experiencing today after 30 years. And the sad part is it's not a present. It's not a gift. Today's present by the globalists is not a gift that benefits. It is hurting humanity. So people do need to wake up quickly. Hopefully it's not too late because now we have Putin putting on the nuke threat. And so we need to keep our eye on Ukraine. Ukraine has always been corrupt. They are wealthy in energy. And so we need to keep our eye on Ukraine because America is now going to give them billions of dollars without accountability. Why are we handing all these corrupt countries, even if they are under threat, God bless the citizens, but handing over billions of dollars consistently forever to corrupt nations, third world nations, without any accountability of how this money is to be spent? Because it belongs to we the people, not to the White House, not to Congress, and not to the senators who have treated it as if that money belongs to them and they can do whatever they want with it. They can print as much as they want and bankrupt America because the bubble will burst. And that's due to the failure of them going back, some of them 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, who have been taxpayer-funded in office by the taxpayers while making secret deals and somehow got extremely rich. And so despite their wealth, we still taxpayer fund them until the day they die. That is absolutely ridiculous. All of this needs to be revisited if we ever get to restore our nation. The borders, the Constitution needs to be restored, Bill of Rights, and elected officials need to remember that they have a fiduciary duty and a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution and to defend the sovereignty of this great nation and to protect the safety, health, and welfare of every natural-born American first and every legal American next, which is a naturalized citizen. Instead, they have turned it upside down and they are harboring, aiding and abetting and funding illegals from third world countries without identifying them and bypassing ICE, Customs, Border Patrol, TSA, sheriff and police whose hands are tied under the Democrat rule of 2009, detain and release them into our country instead of the law that is actually the real law of detain and deport, and let them stand in line behind the thousands and thousands of people from around the world who have stood in line, applied legally, and have waited their turn. It's just unfair and unjust to them, and no one stepping up to the plate to defend those who from Europe or Australia or Canada or any of those other countries who have waited in line to enter into the USA legally. So we need to revisit all of those situations and bring back our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and sovereignty, and remember that God is in charge of the universe, not men and women. And so many have gone rogue. But on that note, we have a happy note. We are going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And didn't mean to rattle on for an extra few minutes there. So I'm going to introduce our very special guest, who we're excited to have on the show today, in just a moment and right after this important message. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe, a landmark almost 100 years old. And it should bring you some happiness and joy when you taste that home cooking and that homemade pie.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Listen up, everyone, because we're back and we're going to talk about a wonderful subject, miracles. And we're entering into the world of authors and experts. And today we're so excited to have a very special guest. Her name is Maury Silver. And she is the widow of the Irwin Award-winning book that is entitled An Indelible Event and Deter to a Global Childhood. Author Henry Silver, Dr. Henry Silver, was my guest on October 6, 2021, and he was dynamic. He did win the Irwin Award-winning book from the book publicist of Southern California, as I stated, for Best Nonfiction Book of 2021. Sadly, within 24 hours of the presentation of the award, accepted by Maury Silver, his widow, he passed away in a New York hospital. Maury accepted the award for Henry in a Zoom event hosted by the book publicists of Southern California. And we are just thrilled to have Maury Silver with us today to talk about Silver's book and what is happening with the book today. So let's just get started and say hello to Maury. Hi, Maury Silver. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you so much for having me on. I loved the interview that you did with Henry in October, and I know Henry really enjoyed it. It was so nice to hear him talk with you about his book. It is a sad time for me, but you know, I always feel energized talking about Henry and his remarkable life and our life together. And in talking about him, I'm keeping his legacy alive, and I feel good. So, just a little background. It was wonderful. He did receive recognition for his book. Before he died, the Irwin Award, certainly, and I was able to read him book reviews, and in the last week he remained upbeat, and we just enjoyed every moment. We sang together every day and talked, and it's hard to believe that he's not here with me, but he is here with me. So
it's amazing, though, because after 40 years of marriage, weren't you married for 40 years?
Yes.
It seems like, you know, even though a loved one passes away, their spirit and their meaning of life that we know about is always with us. So that's a wonderful feeling to know that, you know, they're in a good place, and yet they're still alive in our hearts, our minds, and we can still share their legacy, which is great. So, Maury, tell me, how did Henry describe his global awakening?
Well, when he lived in both Latin America and the United States, because his father was a world famous Latin American specialist, and his global awakening, he liked to describe it. He was living in Buenos Aires, and he was shy because he had recovered from this terrible accident that he had had. He was sitting in his house behind a curtain, and he was looking outside, and he saw these boys from the neighborhood admiring his car, his parents' car that they brought down from New Orleans. And they were admiring the bike, his bike that was in the back, and then the dashboard. And one of the boys saw that Henry was looking out the window. And he said, "Where are you from?" in Spanish. And Henry pointed up. And then he said to him, "Well, you're not from heaven." He says, "No, I'm from the north." And so then the boy said, "Oh, you're from Mendoza?" He said, No, I'm from America." And the boy said, "Well, we are also America. We are Argentina of America." And so then he said, "No, I'm from New York." He says, "Ah, well, welcome to Buenos Aires, my friend." And that's when Henry, the light bulb went on, and Henry realized that everyone has something to contribute from their background and where they live. And just because you live in one place, it's not the center of the world for everyone. And that's what he described as his global awakening.
That is fantastic. And so, what is the significance of the title, An Indelible Event in Dieter Through a Global Childhood, and why is that the title of the book, and what was the indelible event?
Okay, well, the indelible event was a terrible car accident that affected Henry his entire life. Henry and his father were passengers in a car driving from New Orleans to Guatemala City with two graduate students to conduct research. His father was a professor at Tulane University. And after a full day of driving, his father handed the wheel over to the male graduate student who, unbeknownst to anyone, had written a suicide note. And on top of a mountain about 300 miles north of Mexico City, decided to execute his plan and take everyone in the car with him.
Oh my God.
At that moment in time, he aimed the car directly at an oncoming truck and got his wish. He perished. But tragically, Henry was in the car as it toppled down the side of the mountain and landed in a ravine. That was the indelible event, and he suffered a head injury resulting in a concussion and a laceration of the brain, and was in a coma for 2.5 months, and then in the hospital for a total of 6 months. The accident also left him with lifelong vision impairment and hemiparesis, which gave him the appearance of like someone who had had a stroke. His right side had been paralyzed and was not as strong as his left side.
It's a miracle that he even lived. I mean, especially going down a ravine and then with so many injuries.
The doctor who first assessed his condition, his first remark was, this boy doesn't know how to die. Prior to the accident, Henry had been a precocious child, and he played the violin, and he played bridge, and of course, he also liked to say, and also hide and seek, and was also bilingual at the age of 3. And this accident changed everything. No one knew if he would wake up, because for the first 8 days, he was in a deep coma. And, you know, he had to, when he came out of the deep coma, he gradually, over 2.5 months, you know, was able to be taught and trained to, but he had to relearn everything he ever knew, from how to speak to how to walk, and bottom line, how to think. And, but under the care of this brilliant, innovative doctor and his remarkable parents, the table was set for his rehabilitation and recovery, and he made the most of it.
It's a remarkable story because he was just a little boy, and the fact that he had to overcome so much is absolutely a miracle. And so, in my opinion, and so in what way do you think that he deterred through his global childhood?
Well, he used a detour as a double entendre. You know, on the one hand, his family traveled back and forth between Latin America and the United States, and that gave Henry a front row seat to different countries, different cultures, different customs, languages, cuisines. He had opportunities to interact with the populations of every city that they lived in. But on the other hand, it also emphasized the way his childhood was disrupted. And all the detours he had to take to address his mental and physical challenges. You know, when you have to make a detour, you have to make a roundabout route or take a different path so you can get to where you want to go. And that was the essence of Henry. He had this indefatigable drive that never let him walk away from a challenge. And this was instilled in him through the doctor.
Hello? see if we can get her back. Let's go to a break, and then we'll try to get her back. Hold on. We had a technical problem.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Hi, Maury. Are you back? Hello? Oh, for some reason we got cut off again. Let's take one more break and we'll try to fix the problem. Hold on.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right.
Hello?
And I think we got the technical problem. Hi, Maury. We got cut off there.
Yeah, hi. I'm here. I'm calling you on another phone. Are we back on?
We're back on, and we're talking to Maury Silver. We're continuing on with the story of her wonderful husband, Henry M. Silver, Dr. Henry M. Silver, who wrote An Indelible Event and Detour Through a Global Childhood, which was a miracle. Sadly, he passed on, if you're just joining us. And Maury is continuing on with the story. So, Maury,
yes.
What was Henry like during the marriage? Did any of those events when he went over the ravine and then had so many complications with his health as well as his thinking, what was it like living with him? Was he normal or did those events still affect him?
Oh, he was more than normal. He was warm and self-confident and optimistic. He had a beautiful smile, a wonderful laugh, and a terrific sense of humor. He did have, the physical impairments that he sustained in the accident were the vision impairment and he did walk resolutely, but with an obvious limp. But the interesting thing about Henry was that he didn't use a cane until he was 60.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we traveled to Europe. We went to Paris many times. We were down in South America. He walked with a limp, but there was one story that was very, very amusing that I can make a point with. He always looked out for others, and we live in New York City, and there is across the street from our apartment is a bus that travels down
the east to the east side via the Harlem River Drive. So it's an express bus. And he used to go to work every morning at 10 minutes to 7. And he got on, and this was in later years after he was 60. He was using a cane. And at the next stop, an older lady got on with, you know, a walker. And Henry stood up for her. And the bus driver got on the intercom and said, "Are you kidding? This man uses a cane and he's standing. Isn't anybody else going to stand up?" And someone finally did. But he always looked out for others. You know,
such a good heart because we don't see much of that any longer in this world.
I know. And he, you know, his parents instilled this confidence in him, which, you know, right, reinforced this drive that he had to just keep moving forward. And he didn't share too much about his accident because, quite frankly, he didn't know too much about it because his parents didn't really discuss all the grim details with him.
Mm-hmm.
He said at one point, he said maybe, you know, they thought that he would be too traumatized as a child to find out about it. But he thought, on the other hand, maybe they were the ones who were too traumatized. You know, it was quite an accident.
He actually accomplished quite a bit because Henry M. Silbert went on to get his PhD. He was born in Philadelphia in 1948. He did his undergraduate in 1967 through 1971 and doctoral studies at New York University. And he went for a Bachelor of Philosophy degree in Latin America Area Studies at the University of Oxford. In the 70s, he spent his childhood years living and attending elementary schools in New Orleans, Guatemala City, Mexico City, Santiago, Buenos Aires. He spent his high school years at Hanover High School in Hanover, New Hampshire. As a survey associate and statistician, Dr. Silver worked at the conference board for 23 years until his retirement and co-authored several reports regarding business matters. Previously, he worked on projects ranging from childhood hunger to drug use and HIV/AIDS epidemic. As a visiting professor at the College of Mexico, Dr. Silver taught comparative politics of Latin America, and as an adjunct professor teaching various sociological classes in New York City. So he actually, despite this tragedy and all of the health issues that he had to overcome, both physically and mentally, he more than compensated for anything that came in his path and took that detour and became extremely successful. Right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he was a natural born teacher, and I never saw him as happy as when he was teaching someone, whether it was explaining statistics to the daughter of a friend downstairs when she was having trouble with her homework, or teaching sociology classes, or teaching great social thinkers. He outdid himself. I was always in awe of his.
I can imagine.
Everything that made him tick. And I will say this much, when we danced, he did not limp. He did not limp at all. So
he liked dancing then. That's wonderful because I like dancing too. So were you the editorial advisor on his book, and did you do any of the research and help him write any of the books?
Well, not content-wise. I was the editorial advisor. only Henry could speak to his story. But I did help him in one way, and that was after we had had dinner with friends out one night, and these friends go back many, many years, and they knew the history of the accident, and Henry was you know, sharing with him some of the things that he had written about, and they knew things that he didn't know. And so when we got home, the accident, because I'm a great nudge, I said, you might want to look up, see if there's anything written. So
that's okay.
The next morning, he looked up New Orleans newspapers, and he hit the jackpot. He found an article from the Associated Press that documented the accident.
Wow.
And it filled in some blanks, and he said he needed any proof, but it was proof. It happened. And
yes,
he survived. And this was, he said it was a bonanza for him, because he just felt like he had extra authority. and it was a catalyst. He had already started writing a lot, but this was something that he had never seen.
And confirmation,
and so
too, for him.
Confirmation, yes. Yes.
Yes.
And so
I think the story's fantastic. And because I love stories about miracles, I've had miracles happen, but I think a lot of people do, but they don't recognize them. And I think it's also uplifting, too, to people that, are either in accidents, or they have loved ones who are in accidents, or friends or whatever. And sometimes they feel so down and out when they can read a wonderful book, An Indelible Event and Detour to a Global Childhood, and by Dr. Henry Silvert, Silvert. And so as we conclude on his legacy and his book, which is still alive, did you help him in his career, and what are you doing to help him promote the book other than being on Columbo Chronicles?
Well, I talk about it wherever I can. It's an amazing, as you say, it's an amazing story of perseverance, optimism, and a lot of good old-fashioned grit. Promote it on any way I can, and I look forward to more conversations. I think that when someone talks about their work, or someone's work is talked about, in this case, talking about your work is really opens doors. You have a conversation. It does not compare with the amount of clicks that you can click on social media, although social media is very important. But there's no substitute for talking about the work. And the book can be purchased on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a whole host of online websites.
Do you have any particular website for Henry?
HenryMSilvert.com is his website, which I am monitoring, and I've kept open, and on that website you can also see all of his academic work and his scholarly work as well.
That's fantastic, and I'm proud of you, too, for continuing on with Henry's legacy. I think it's important that people who we love and people who have accomplished and helped other people and made a mark in the world, I think it's important. And so I want to thank you, too, for being on Colombo Chronicles and sharing your view on how important the book is. And I hope everyone will check out the website, check out his work, as well as purchase his book, An Indelible Event and Dieter Through a Global Childhood. Thank you so much for being with us today,
Maurice
Silver. You're a gem.
Thank you so much. Best regards. Bye-bye.
And Maurice Silver has left the building, and we will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial and stay with Colombo Chronicles when we enter into the world of politics.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite and enjoy that home-cooked meal and that home-cooked pie. And on that note, we're going to enter into the world of issues of the day, as well as politics. And today we have Unreported Truths by Alex Berenson, .substack.com. COVID infections in Britain are rising again, and 90% of the dead are vaccinated. Have mRNA jabs ruined our chance at herd immunity? Remember when the doctors who were all silenced and the scientists who were all silenced by CDC and WHO and Dr. Fauci, NIH and MSM and social media were attempting to say do not vaccinate everyone because you can diminish the flu by herd immunity? And only a percentage of people should be vaccinated. Well, what's always been intriguing to me is that these weren't licensed vaccinations, yet the White House, Congress, senators, the Department of Health, the medical profession, the social media, MSM, Bill Gates, and Big Pharma, and FDA has and WHO and CDC have presented the COVID-19 Emergency Authorization Act as an experimental and trial injection, which is not a licensed vaccination, with no liability to any of the globalist Wall Street investors or to the government or to the medical profession or any of the investors, no matter how many people die, no matter how many people are permanently injured who were once healthy with knowledge and in agreement and willingly and consent, agreed to jab everyone on the planet because Bill Gates said you have no choice, and he also said they will plunge a genetically engineered organism into the veins of every child on the planet. Bill Gates is not a doctor. He is not a scientist. He's not a virologist. He's not a PhD. And yet MSM and social media gave him and Dr. Fauci. Of course, he invested or bought up time in the millions for the platform that presented these Emergency Authorization Act experimental and trial injections to be jabbed into everyone's arms multiple times, knowing that they did not know the big unknown, as Dr. Fauci said, which is efficacy, meaning that if it doesn't work, you have to keep being jabbed for the rest of your life. And any scientist or doctor will tell you that the more chemicals that are injected into your body cause unknown adverse health effects to individuals, which are unknown until after you're jabbed, and irreversible, according to many doctors and scientists. And also, they silenced all of the doctors and scientists who said that they treated COVID-19 for decades with the FDA-approved, safe and effective, with little or no side effects for decades of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And then they said that we were not to even mention those two FDA-approved prescription drugs. And even HCQ was sold over the counter at one point. So the protocol from Dr. Fauci, NIH, and CDC for hospitals and nursing homes was to use remdesivir, does have known direct adverse side effects to patients with COVID, according to medical reports. And it is more expensive to purchase from Big Pharma, and there are more bonuses and profits from using remdesivir versus using ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, which have little profit. This means that people who were being jabbed under fear-mongering, threats, and coercion of you're going to die if you don't get jabbed, or you're going to lose your job, go and buy groceries, are threats of punishment against the American people and other countries. And fear-mongering and bullying and harassing and threatening and coercion are criminal acts and violations of the law in the United States of America, as well as forcing people to be jabbed with an experimental and trial injection with mRNA gene, genetically engineered gene therapy, never used on human beings, trade secret formula, the Pfizer trade secret formula that a whistleblower exposed online, is unknown materials and chemicals and other nanoparticles, whatever they put into that secret Pfizer trade secret formula that they are jabbing into millions and millions of people and have already jabbed into millions and millions of people who don't even know what was injected into their bodies or what are the direct adverse health effects as alleged, altering your DNA, altering your body and your mind, perhaps, as alleged. And there are a very long list of FDA direct adverse health effects published for their use and for Dr. Fauci and by Dr. Fauci at a workshop in 2020 that lists heart attacks at the very top and strokes and myocarditis and paralysis and a very long list of serious direct adverse health effects, potential to affect directly babies, pregnant women, children, teenagers, young adults, old adults, elderly, who under the fear of dying or losing their jobs or not being able to buy food and water in a grocery store, losing their home and their family if they lose their jobs, losing everything they work for, losing their businesses and their self-esteem. How's that healthy? How is that health care when experimental and trial injections are intended for willing volunteers and they are not to affect any child under the age of 16? And yet they're going after pregnant women for their unborn babies that directly affect the unborn baby because everything you put into your body affects the unborn baby. And babies and toddlers. So that would include every living creature God created upon the earth, known as a human being. Are these leaders paid with our tax dollars or Wall Street billionaire globalists invested in this big pharma agenda, United Nations Agenda 21 that was rolled out in 2021, where the insurance companies have documented through their statistics and morticians and hospitals that there's a 40% increase in deaths, especially young people dying from heart attacks. That is unprecedented in the United States of America. And if it continues, the number of injuries after the jabs were rolled out and the deaths after the jabs were rolled out between 21 and 22 will bankrupt them if they continue at this rate. So these are things you need to know and you should have researched. New figures from Britain raise bright red flags about the direction of COVID in wealthy countries that used mRNA and DNA shots to attempt to defeat the coronavirus last year when they prohibited anyone even saying the word hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin is effective, as many doctors and scientists stated. And many of those doctors and scientists are alleged to have died and are not to be found on social media or MSM. Hospitalizations and deaths remain stubbornly high and overwhelmingly occur in vaccinated people. In February, 90% of the 1,000 Britons who died each week of COVID were vaccinated. Now, they were not vaccinated with a licensed vaccine, to my knowledge. They were vaccinated under the Emergency Authorization Act with a experimental and trial injection of unknown material, nanoparticles, perhaps alleged graphene, which is a poison to the body, nanoparticles of metal, which have been reported in the Moderna and recalled, but they were already injected. I mean, there's so much going on here that it's unfathomable that there are so many leaders in this world who love the almighty dollar over their country, over God, over morals, ethics, principles, values, and human life. Because without babies, and without children, we have no sovereign nations. There will be nobody to preserve, defend, protect the U.S. Constitution or anyone else's constitution in their countries if the young people are injured or die from these experimental and trial injections, with the knowledge that children, according to the doctors and scientists that were silenced, 99.99% chance of recovery from COVID with strong immune systems. And those chemicals, according to the doctors and medical books, allegedly weaken the immune system over time. And once your immune system is weakened, you begin to be unable to fight off the flu, influenza, and respiratory illnesses, and so forth. So, new infections are not only far higher than they were before the Omicron variant emerged, they are rising again after a brief fall in February. And even boosters appear to offer no protection against hospitalization in young people. British data are crucial both because Britain vaccinated and boosted early and because its database are far more complete and less politicized than those in the United States. Day by day, week by week, the figures are becoming more worrisome. They hint that mRNA and DNA shots have been slowed, if not completely halted, a natural progression to herd immunity that occurred in earlier respiratory virus epidemics. In fact, Britain now reports 99% of adults have antibodies to COVID, mostly as a result of vaccination of the experimental and trial injections. That level is far higher than epidemiologists believed would be necessary to support herd immunity. COVID infections, hospitalizations, and deaths continue unabated. Almost 12,000 Britons are now hospitalized with COVID, more than at the same time last year. The most stunning chart is this one. Each week, the British government releases a surveillance report, which includes COVID deaths by vaccine status. And it is alarming. And you can find this information and this graph here and statistics on alexberenson.substack.com, and I strongly urge you to do so. In fact, in case you didn't know, the Spanish flu of 1918, most people did not die from the Spanish flu. Most people died from malnutrition, tuberculosis, and pneumonia, because back then they didn't have clean water places, fresh water, clean water. 60% of the population was malnourished, and most people who died from malnutrition, starvation. And the mask, according to their health department posted after it was over, that the masks didn't stop the virus, they didn't work. But fresh air and ventilation worked, and they opened all the windows and the doors and let in the fresh air and took off the mask so that they could breathe in the fresh air and exhale the carbon monoxide, which God intended and blew into Adam and Eve's mouths so that they could live, because without oxygen and fresh air, you cannot live, and it is called the breath of life. Yes, oxygen and fresh air are important to keep your immune system healthy, your cells, your organs, your heart, your brain, because when you reduce oxygen supply, people become frustrated, angry, depressed. They cannot think clearly. They can faint. They can actually die from wearing masks long term. And so you can look that up by the Dental Association, where it can cause loss of teeth, gum disease, and death. And also other physical diseases, which the CDC, WHO, NIH, Department of Health, and the entire government never disclosed, or the world, but told you to wear those filthy masks that accumulated phlegm, sweat, germs, coughing, and whatever that would be forced back into your nose, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, and your pores. How healthy is that? Well, I have to go, but I just wanted to bring this information to you, and hopefully you will share the information, and hopefully America will wake up, because America is on the verge of the American nightmare, not the American dream, if people don't take action and get involved and write their congressmen and start proposing laws that are going to turn all of this around and vote out all those who caused this nightmare, the American dream, to turn into the American nightmare. God bless you. God bless America. God bless our law enforcers, our military, and they should stop forcing the military to take the jabs, or else they should take liability for the losses.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.